Welcome to this podcast from St. James Scottish Episcopal Church in Leith. This is a 25-minute edit of our Sunday morning communion service. For more information, please visit our website www.stjamesleith.org.uk.
Say together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Verses today from Psalm 15. I'll read the first verse, if everybody could respond with verse 2 and so on for these few verses. Psalm 15. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their hearts, who do not slander with their tongue, and do no evil to their friends, nor take up a reproach against their neighbors, in whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath even to their hearts, who do not lend money at interest, and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved. Glory to God, source of all being, eternal Word and Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
The first reading today is taken from 1 James, verses 17 to 27. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourself of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror, for they look at themselves and on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious, and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. This is the word of the Lord.
So let's pray together. At the start of this new season of thinking and of prayer, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. So we're starting a season of 5 weeks in September and the first Sunday in October. And we're calling that the season of creation. Internationally, it seems to be known as that. In this country, it seems to be known as creation time. I'm not sure why it's different, but the season of creation. And you might well know about this, but we haven't actually observed it here before. It's something that started actually in the Orthodox Church in 1989, and it has been gradually being supported by a wider number of churches across the world since then. The European Christian Environmental Network has urged churches to adopt a time for creation in these few weeks, which ends on the Feast of St. Francis on the 4th of October. This was adopted ecumenically in 2007, so it's only taken me 10 years, 11 years. That's how it works, you know. And very slow on the uptake. And it was agreed at that time that, and this is supported by all the mainline denominations now, that this be a time dedicated to prayer for the protection of creation and the promotion of sustainable lifestyles that reverse our contribution to climate change. A time dedicated to prayer for the protection of creation and the promotion of sustainable lifestyles that reverse our contribution to climate change. Now, we've spoken of this many times, and we have had a go, and from time to time, Liz led us in recent times to try and think more carefully about our response as Christians and as a Christian community to the environmental crisis. But of course, with everything else that's going on, it tends to kind of, we go, oh yes, this is very important, and then we move on. So that the reason it suddenly occurred to me that if we made this part of our seasons, part of the rhythm of our year, and every year we had this season and we're stopping to think and to pray again, this would be a very good thing. It's a bit like adopting or absorbing or inhabiting this as part of our Christian journey. So we have Advent. We're familiar with Advent, Christmas, Lent, Easter, Pentecost. And these things, over the years, they become sort of grown into us as part of the rhythm of life. And they are formative, depending on how well it's done. They're formative in good ways as a kind of holistic backdrop and an inspiration and a learning tool. And it's all part of growing to be God's people. It's a part of the groove, part of the rhythm that feeds our sense of identity and meets us in the highs and the lows of life. So if we can make praying for and working for, whatever that might mean, the protection of creation and the promotion of sustainable lifestyle, then that might also become an integral part of our life as a community of worship and of our personal followership of Christ. So if it comes round year after year, it'll become more embedded in our psyche, I hope. I hope that in these next few weeks of this season, we can assimilate and absorb some more understanding of the Christian spirituality of living sustainably and of the theological sensibilities that are the rationale that underpin it. We'll follow a theme pattern suggested by Eco-Congregation in Scotland. That's an interdenominational agency. We've sort of flirted with them in the past, and they change and we change, but they are currently expanding their work. And they have a new person called an environmental chaplain who can move around and work with churches, and he's going to be here next Sunday. man called David Coleman. So he's just started in that role. His role being to provide spiritual and theological support to churches in their work of caring for creation. So we look forward to seeing David next Sunday. Now, the readings we've had today are the lectionary readings, the same pattern we follow every day. It may be just a cunning bit of work or coincidence or however we want, but here we have first Sunday of the season of creation time, and here we have the epistle in James encouraging us to be doers of the word. And of course, probably we all feel that we in our heads have a commitment to caring for creation or understand the importance of that, but find it much more difficult to be doers of that word. And we're all probably in that boat. I certainly am. So no harm at all, and a good thing for us to stop and be thoughtful about this for the next few weeks. The title that Eco Congregation have given to this Sunday, to go with this, or these readings, because Jesus is also talking about hypocrisy in the gospel reading we had today. The title they've given this Sunday is Passing on the Gift of Integrity. So we all like the idea of having integrity in our lives. That seems like a good goal. All that we hold dear and hold and value and think is important and in our heads we're committed to. So theoretically, we should aspire to the idea that there should be an integrity to our lives that fits with what we think. The word integrity comes from the Latin word integri, which means whole or sound in construction. If you come across a garden shed that's sound in construction, then you recognize it. And some of them aren't. And you recognize that too. Integri, sound in construction. So when we think about our own lives, or when people come across us as people, I wonder if they think of us as being sound in construction. Because we cannot divide ourselves, our faith from action, our words from the work that we do. Otherwise, we undermine any authenticity we have. So the text in James supports the need for integrity and a holistic approach to life that marries words and action, hearing and doing. We are called to be tangible signs of God's work in the world. as we think about the deeper implications of integrity, what we do or do not do can negatively impact our brothers and sisters across the world. We're learning that more and more. Obviously, in the most pressing example of climate change, driven by the developed world's love affair with a consumer-based, fossil fuel-driven lifestyle. How can we pass on the gift of an integrated world when our actions as nations, communities, and individuals persist in the opposite direction? So, as we think about creation time this September, the challenge is to consider what passing on the gift of integrity means for us as individuals and as churches. Might we again think of positive actions that enable us to live out faith with integrity? This might be commitments about what we buy or what we lobby for or ask for, the rights of internally displaced people or climate justice or where we buy our energy from and all that stuff that we've thought about many times. The moderator of the Church of Scotland this year, is a woman called Susan Brown. So she was writing in the Glasgow Herald last week about Eco Congregation Scotland as part of the Stop Climate Chaos Scotland campaign to make Scotland a net zero emission economy by 2050. She was articulating on behalf of the church a pride in the Scottish Parliament and the Scottish Government that they've shown leadership in promoting climate action and now have the opportunity to assert once again that Scotland has a leading role to play. And this autumn, the Scottish Parliament will debate a new climate change bill which sets out targets for the future. So there's plenty to be done imminently in terms of what the government hear from communities like us. Because that's obviously, as we all know, that's hugely influential. A net target of 100% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions by 2050 might appear very difficult. But with rapid decarbonisation of the economy, which is envisaged in the draft Scottish Energy Strategy, there's no reason to dismiss that. And the Scottish Government could make this commitment. And adopting ambitious targets, we know, makes a difference. Encourages businesses to develop technologies, jobs and skills that will serve servers in the future. And she says, we, the church, have a part to play in this, working with Eco Congregation. We will. There are 400 Eco Congregations across Scotland. Next week, we'll maybe hear from David Coleman about how we might pin our colours to the mast. And I'd like us to think about doing that, to become part of a bigger movement as the church. And call with others upon the government to make a commitment to be proud of. So we'll unfold hopefully this more gently as the weeks go along. So I'd like us to pray this morning using words and images from the Psalms, from Psalm 104. And when I pray, send your Spirit, Lord, could we all respond, and renew us. Send your Spirit, Lord, and renew us. So it's say that. Send your Spirit, Lord, and renew us. Because I think we need to be renewed about this. I'm talking to myself. I've thought about this often, and it kind of just melts away. I need to be renewed in this, and that's what I'm hoping this season will help us do. Let us pray. So verses from Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God. You are great, you are clothed with honour and majesty and wrapped in light as with a garment. And you stretch out the heavens like a tent. You make the winds your messengers and fire and flame your ministers. And yet you call even us to serve you here in this city, in this world, in these days. Help us, Lord, always to be moving towards integrity in our lives, towards wisdom and courage in how we live our lives and care for your creation. Send your Spirit, Lord, and renew us. You set the earth on its foundations so that it shall never be shaken. You cover it with the deep as with a garment, the waters stood above the mountains. So we pray again for all of those whose lives are afflicted when the earth shakes, or when the deep rises up to engulf homes and people. And at this time, of course, there's a glaring example of that in Kerala, and we pray for all of those involved in the relief effort in these challenging times. May they know the inspiration of your Spirit and the deep peace of your love. Send your Spirit, Lord, and renew us. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills, giving drink to every wild animal. By the streams, the birds of the air have their habitation. They sing among the branches. So we pray again, O God, for all of those who are working in conservation, and for the fight and the campaign to protect this world from greed and abuse. For them, we ask for your strength and vision. Send your Spirit, Lord, and renew us. You cause the grass to grow for the cattle and plants for people to use, to bring forth fruit from the earth and wine to gladden the human heart, oil to make the face shine, bread to strengthen the human heart. So we pray again for everyone that supplies our food, from farmer to cook. For the joy of eating well, we give you thanks and pray again for all those for whom the next meal is less certain, where joy is found simply in eating at all. And pray again, O God, that the world's resources be used and shared fairly. Send your Spirit, Lord, and renew us. For all those who are in need of your presence and wholeness today, we pray. For all those we know who are ill in body, mind, or spirit. For those who are afraid or lonely, or who don't know where to turn. For those who have died, and those who have been left heartbroken. Send your Spirit, Lord, and renew us. And as the psalm ends, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen and amen.
the day that God has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. We will not offer to God offerings that cost us nothing. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. We will seek peace. In the name of the Trinity of Love, one God, in perfect community. Amen.